So many brand owners, business owners gone really wrong because they get excited, they start, and they haven't quite figured out their brand tone, their brand values. Like, they haven't worked out what their actual brand is.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to the Weekly Parody.
Hello, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host, and I'm so excited for today. I've just been really working on setting my intention at the very beginning of the day and being like, you know what? Today's going to be awesome. Today is going to be an awesome, awesome day. I've even tell my little girl that when she heads off to kindergarten every day. I'm like, hey, Lucy, are you ready for the best day of your life? And she's like, Mom, you say that every day, but why not? Let's go ahead and say that. Let's set that intention today. Today is going to be an awesome day, and I'm so honored that you are spending part of your time with us. Today, we are talking with Sophie Bowman about branding. Now, listen. I was scrolling through Instagram one day, minding my own business, and I run across this profile that says, that Brit who built her social media agency online so she could work from home in her pants. My friends, those are the kind of people you need in your life. I immediately liked Sophie and I sent her a DM, and we've been chatting and had her on the show so she could share with us all about branding. She's worked with celebrities and all kinds of huge clients to build their brands, and she shares with us today about brand vocabulary, setting a brand tone. What does any of that mean? I didn't know before, but you guys are about to find out. This episode is amazing. And if you are not subscribed, I don't even know what you're doing. I'm not even sure what you're doing right now. I need you to look down at your phone unless you're driving. Hit that subscribe button. And if you've been listening for a minute, I would just greatly appreciate if you left us an honest review. Hey, and one last thing before we get started on this interview. If you are a content creator, maybe you have a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, or maybe you're thinking about starting one, but you struggle with consistency. I tell you, I understand, because it is a lot more work than people think. But it's so important to be consistent so we can spread our messages to the people that we're trying to reach. So I created a free course for you. It is all about consistency with your content and building in systems and processes that make sure that you are deliberate with your production and staying on course with your work. You can grab that course by going to heatherparody.com/free course, or you can text content to 345-345. Again, that is content at 345-345. There's a lot of mystery, I think, behind online entrepreneurship, because I get asked all the time, so what exactly do you do? People are really confused by this kind of unconventional job title that's coming up, where people work in the online space and do a variety of things, whether it's, you know, freelance or building, you know, an online presence, whatever it may be. Can you kind of break it down how you run your business and what that looks like for you? Because staying home in your pants and working from your laptop sounds awesome. You put it in your IG profile. What does that look like from a day-to-day?
Honestly, I mean, first of all, I have to agree with you, because my mom came to visit from London last week and she still asked me what I do. She still doesn't understand. Like 6 years later, for me, I mean, it's really like a matter of prioritizing. So for example, now I have one really, really big A-lister client that I deal with, which almost takes up all of my time. I think to work from home, you know, I don't know if you agree, but I think you have to be pretty structured, because, you know,
I was just going to say that.
Exactly. Like, you have to be, I think you just have to have that passion and for the gratitude for being able to be lucky enough to wake up in the morning, you know, I still have my day planned out exactly when I start, which is normally like 8:30 until 5 or 6, depending on workload. But it's just that beauty of not having to get dressed, not having to do a commute, not having to, you know, all of this kind of stuff. It takes out a huge amount of stress. But at the same time, I work so much. Many days it can literally be like 8 till 8 sitting at my computer. Might stop to eat at some point.
No, totally. I get that a lot. People are like, oh, you work from home, you have all this free time. And you're like, actually, I feel like I work a little bit more than if I had a regular job.
I'm definitely more productive working from home. I had a work from a Wynwood day, a really cool part of Miami last week with one of my senior bloggers. And I don't get anything done. Like, I might get maybe a blog done in 2-3 hours. But if I was at home, I probably would have done 3.
Yep. Yep.
So for productivity, it's definitely worked out a lot better for me.
Yeah. Now you're just digging into this branding aspect because you're super passionate about that. And you kind of combed over really fast that you've, you know, worked with celebrity brands and stuff like that, which that's cool. I mean, you can't just drop that and walk away. First of all, have to tell me how in the world you landed stuff like that. That's amazing. And just tell me day-to-day stuff of what you do.
Yeah. So before, I mean, with working with people like Kanye and John Legend, that's very much, you know, it's a very small industry. Once you find someone on the inside and you show them you can do a good job, I mean, you just get referred. It's like domino effect. So that was really a big thing for me. And I think also just putting, you know, putting yourself out there. You know, I was on the scene, I was networking. I was younger then. So, you know, I actually used to like going out and talking to people. I still do. But yeah, I think gigs like that, you know, they don't just pop up, but it is, it's like any industry. Once you get the right contacts, you're kind of laughing because you don't really need to pitch anymore because they're coming to you asking you, can you do this? I will pay you this. And you kind of decide whether you want more money or not. So it's a tricky one. I mean, it really is all about who you know. I think, like, even if you have to find those kind of people, those key holders, shall we call them, on LinkedIn and kind of connect with them, find them on social media, you have to stalk them a little bit, you know, like, engage with them, like their stuff, share them, and that really creates a strong relationship that you can then kind of, you know, you're always in the front of their mind. You probably know at the top of your head now, like, you're 2 or 3 most popular Instagram followers that are always commenting, always, you know. And then when you need to kind of ask for help from followers or you think of them instantly, they're always in your mind. So I think that's really like a way to make the connection, because obviously as well, now working from home, people must think, you know, like, how on earth do you even meet anyone?
Right, right. So talk about this brand aspect. You told me before we got on the show that sometimes you get into people's social and you're just like, oh, there's a lot of work to be done here. Walk us through, if let's say you're walking fresh into a brand, what are some of the first few things that you're looking for and try to immediately fix off the bat?
I think there definitely has to be a really strong brand tone. You know, we joked before about 2018, hashtag being authentic. Right. And it really is like now is more important than ever. So if you look at a brand's, you know, website and then look at their social media and that's not connecting, that's a big, big problem. I think modern consumers now, you know, they're so tech savvy and smart and it really has to resonate with them. So if everything you're posting on your social media isn't looking, you know, beautiful, it has to be an aesthetic, eye-pleasing page for one. You know, you have to have some kind of pattern going on your page. You have to have a message. You have to be telling a story. All of those kind of things have to really connect. Obviously, I won't give examples of brands I worked with that were awful before, but my gosh, like there's a lot, which is shocking, you know, this day and age. And a lot of the time they have really good product or really strong service, but it's just people are instantly just unlike because their stuff is ugly, to be really blunt. Or it doesn't make sense.
Let me dig into that a little bit because I feel like there's so many people who really, really hesitate to post anything and they end up becoming inconsistent and dropping everything altogether because there's this intimidation of making things look perfect. So it's like this weird balance of showing up authentically and also doing well. So how do you balance both of those things?
I think now is like, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. Now it's like we're going into this weird transition phase of like where people are rejecting the the perfect, high quality, always amazing, high fashion type photo. And it's really tricky because I think the key is really creativity, because I think a lot of the time, you know, we're going against billions and billions of images, specifically on Instagram, a day. Mm. So if we're seeing the same old content, it's boring. Like, something has to jump out at you to make you stop and, you know, press like and hopefully comment. And I think you can do that without being, you know, like a professional photographer, but it just has to be that little bit creative. You know, if everyone's posting a picture of a new product and they're holding it in their hand or whatever, like, you have to post that differently. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all about creativity. That's one thing I would say for 2019. And giving people like a real glimpse. I think people, depending on what your industry sector is, whatever, I think, you know, that kind of peek behind the scenes to show the real thing, like, people are obsessed with that.
Yeah.
I actually went to visit the Ritz-Carlton in the Cayman Islands last year. And there were two girls there, and the staff were really excited because these girls, I think it's the Stauffer family. I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but two twin girls that I think are like 3 or 4, and they just made this incredible like viral video because the girl was, you know, putting the world to rights. And these kids are making more money than probably all of us put together. But it was amazing because the mum just found this real creative niche for like capturing these little charismatic girls and getting the real thing, you know, behind the scenes photos. I think she posted something yesterday, an old photo of like one of the girls biting another kid. You know, a mum blogger would never normally want to show that stuff. But that's like a powerful example of, you know, like, show the real stuff, because we all know what happens behind closed doors.
Yeah, real. That's real. That's real. What about copy? You're passionate about writing. How can we get better at copy? Writing is so, see, I'm opposite of you. That's why I have a podcast, because I like to talk. Writing is so hard for me because I can't spell very well. I misspell everything and I say horrible slang words. So for people like me who aren't passionate or good with words, how can we start delivering better copy?
I think, obviously, again, it all depends on brand. One thing that I actually suggested recently to a new team member I took on who is really struggling with like inspirational writing and stuff is, depending on your brand, you can write like a brand vocabulary. So, you know, I think I came up with that idea a couple of years ago when I was working with a really difficult client, shall we say, that was in the beauty industry. But, you know, I say difficult client, but she's one of my best examples because she really pushed me so hard to be better. I mean, everything had to be perfect.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, now I'm probably a tyrant to work for though, because I'm a real perfectionist now. But I mean, she was not going to accept like a slapdash, like basic, you know, whatever caption on Instagram. It had to be really like magical. And I think I created this brand vocabulary and it literally changed everything, because once you have those words in your head and you know the kind of words that go with your brand, like everything kind of flows from that. And I think it's really useful, you know, as you go through Instagram, like look at quotes that you find that are really unique, you know, save them, because things like that, when you're writing a caption, if you're really struggling, you can always kind of use a mix of your favorite quotes. And I think you have to use a mix of, you know, like short and snappy and kind of humorous, depending on your brand tone, and then do the kind of longer ones, which is fine. But I mean, realistically, although the caption is incredibly important, we know it's 80% image or 70% maybe now. But I would say definitely start a brand vocabulary. That's like the starting point for anyone. If you want to do the copywriting, anytime you struggle, you open up your book and you'll find yourself writing so much better.
That's so interesting. So do you recommend like coming up with X amount of words that you think reflect your brand? So like when you say brand vocabulary, you're talking about like using inspiration, but also coming up with a vocabulary?
Exactly. So let's say for the beauty brand that I developed this for, it would be things like, you know, indulge, or, you know, like flawless, complexion, perfection, like all of these kind of words that really going towards more of the luxury end. So all of that will kind of very much depend on brand. But if you were, let's say, like, you know, organic or vegan brand, again, you'd go back to all of those kind of words, right, like cruelty free and natural beauty, like all of those kind of things. You know, and then you can get really creative with it. And I think another way to really kind of push that, the copywriting skills, is to follow maybe 3 to 5 people that, you know, that you adore, that are in maybe a similar thing or share a similar target market, and you can really use them as inspiration. Mm. Obviously, you don't want to copy them, but, right, you know, like one day, I think I saw on one influencer in the UK, like, a certain caption, which the next day I could use that idea for my caption because it kind of resonated, but obviously put my own flair on it.
I love that.
So definitely, like, having your key influencers that you go to for inspiration to is really important.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break so I can share with you about Help One Now. You may remember back in episode 52, I interviewed Chris Marlowe, their founder, and I'm super excited to get behind their work this year. And I want to invite you to join me. Help One Now has a program called Family Empowerment, where they go into impoverished areas in Ethiopia and help families start their own businesses. How cool is that? You and I know the power of entrepreneurship and small business, and that it has the potential to change the course of people's lives. And this program has a 95% success rate and can help families increase their income by 500%. And this show is all about making an impact. So I thought it would be so cool for this year, while you and I work to grow our own businesses, we also help these families grow theirs. You can go over to heatherparody.com/helponenow or click the link in the show notes to find out more information. All right, back to the interview.
This is kind of a dumb question, but I'm ignorant in this space. When you work with like celebrities and so forth, to me, when I look at famous people, it doesn't seem like there's much thought that goes into their social media at all. Am I mistaken there, or am I missing something?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that's, again, something that I'm trying to change. I mean, obviously with my NDA, I can't say exactly who I work for, but I think with her, I got really fed up with this like samey, boring, sells, you know, like if they have a brand, they're pushing it all the time. And, you know, like people really want to think that it's their authentic self that's speaking. So the only way to do that is to really get in the celebrity's head, you know. You have to know what their passion is, what they love, their favorite restaurants, like what words they use. Obviously, you put that in your vocabulary, all of this stuff, because you have to literally sound like them. And since I've been kind of doing this with this A-list client here, I think their engagement has shot up something like 65% or 70% just in like 6 months.
From doing what exactly?
They had a former social media manager that was just incredibly boring, to be really blunt. You know, exactly like you said, very uninspiring. And like a lot of the celebrities now, you know, you look at a caption, it's like, hey, or something.
Yeah.
Like, okay, some of them, if they're like big, like Beyonce, whatever, they can get away with that.
They can do whatever they want.
And likes. Yeah, they'll get like 1 million comments back saying, hey. But unless you're like Beyonce status, you know, you can't have captions like that all the time. It has to be a little bit more thoughtful, and it has to tie in with what you're trying to do. So for this lady I work with, I'm very lucky because she happens to be beautiful, and she's a self-made multimillionaire entrepreneur as well. So for me, that's like my perfect situation, because she has a lot of like beauty brands and other brands on the side. So for me, it's like endless stuff I can write about and very inspirational. If I had to work with a celebrity that was maybe just focused on one thing or was famous for nothing, then I think I would really struggle with that. Because, you know, like you have to remember as well with the audience, like I guess it's trying to get in their head and figure out exactly what they're trying to do. But if they're just famous for, you know, like going out with, you know, all their body on show, that would be more of a challenge. I'd really have to come up with a a really big vocabulary there. Now, words.
I want to kind of play a little scenario for you. Let's say that you were walking into a brand and somebody's like, help, please help me, Sophie, with this. But you only were able to do one thing. Let's say there was one thing that you could do for the brand. And I'm not talking just on Instagram. I'm talking in general. Your hands were tied. You could only take one action. What would be the one action you would take to help them?
Ooh. Okay. So I guess for that, we'd have to start from, this may be cheating a bit on the question, but I would put together like a strategy for them, a blueprint. So that would really tie in like not just a kind of rebranding strategy, but that would throw everything in there because that would list out, you know, their, that what they need to do for their social media, their marketing, it all kind of comes into that one blueprint. And I could even put the vocabulary in there. So that would probably be the one action that would change their lives.
A strategy.
Yeah.
Strategy. How big of a strategy do you start with? Because I think some people, I know when I talk to people who are just starting off, they get really excited and they're like, I'm going to start an Instagram and a podcast and a blog and a YouTube channel and this and that, and just kind of spread out everywhere. And there's some people who say that's a really great thing to do. And there's some people who says, no, really niche in and focus in on growing one platform. What do you really believe with that?
I mean, even that just sounded to me like, you know, those crazy people that have like 150 tabs open at one time, that mm-hmm. gives me like serious anxiety. Mm-hmm. I think for me, like the first place to start, so many brand owners, business owners, whatever, have gone really wrong because they get excited, they start, and they haven't quite figured out their brand tone, their brand values. Like they haven't worked out what their actual brand is. Mm. And then they kind of go at, you know, 300 miles an hour, and they get like 3 months down the road, they've spent all this money on website design or, you know, like whatever it may be, and then realize, well, this isn't the direction I want to go in. It's such an expensive mistake. And that can all be resolved by doing a branding strategy. And that's something I started, probably will start doing again, actually in 2019. I took like a year off just because they're very time consuming. But you know, it's something I'm going to start selling on my website because I think it's just, I don't think anyone should do anything before a branding strategy. And that's really just from me having, you know, I did it myself. The first company I ever set up was an entertainment agency back in London. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was all over the place. And people kept asking me questions like, well, how are you actually going to make money? All like, you know, valued questions. But I just wanted to do it my way. I was like, if I make mistakes, I'll figure it out and I'll learn for next time. And I made some really costly mistakes. I think I spent £5,000 on a website, which I then realized is not even usable because now I have to integrate this payment thing and I have to start all over again, you know? So all of that could have been resolved with a branding strategy.
I think so much of this is just getting in and learning those. And if I told you all the mistakes I've made, man. And still am, still learning so, so much. Talk to me. One of the things that perked my ears when you said brand tone, dig into that a little bit. How do we figure out what our brand tone is?
So again, like I'm not even trying to be salesy today, but this whole conversation actually has just pivoted me because it's just made me realize how much I miss doing it. And I'm going to start doing that again this year.
Awesome.
yeah, there you go. So I think for brand tone is really, I guess now it would kind of summarize the words and the content and the vibe you're giving on your website content and your social media. Brand tone, especially, you know, for something like Instagram is super important. I think the other day, like I did a special event for New Year's Eve. So all of a sudden I'm posting these photos of me driving these supercars because it was a really fun, like 6 Miami influencers were chosen to kind of do the event. So we had to drive in these classic supercars and it was super fun. But, you know, after 3 or 4 posts, I suddenly realized, oh, I've lost some followers because it wasn't with my brand tone. So although I've kind of done, you know, like luxury cars before and the Modball rally around Europe and all that kind of stuff, like people were just kind of thinking, I don't understand, what are you doing? But I think for me, like I'm a massive hypocrite when it comes to my Instagram because it's like my personal slash brand, but I don't want to change that. And I know it should be more niche, but because I do so many different things, it's impossible for me.
It's hard.
One. Yeah, I can't. Like, you know, I have my finger in so many different industries with the hotels and the lifestyle and the beauty products that I work with and all of this kind of stuff. Like, I could never just have one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people like have this suggestion now, you should have 10 different pages.
But oh man, that's so much time.
Honestly, yeah, no.
That's how I feel too, because, you know, I have clients I work with and then I have this show, and the show is really my passion, but there's so many elements and facets to me, and people are like, oh, you should start two different Instagrams, but I barely have time to keep up with one. Like, that is such an effort that I know I would just half-ass two of them. You know,
exactly. And I think, I mean, for something like that, I actually started working with Schedulegram a couple of years ago. So mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of content writing for them because they approached me to kind of do, you know, like social media expertise, that kind of stuff. So with a platform like that, there's probably other platforms now that have popped up, but Schedulegram worked out really well for me because, you know, you could pick the time that your Instagram message goes live and it goes with the hashtags and everything else. And it's not like Hootsuite where you have to manually, you know, like send off your post or whatever. You could literally, I mean, that's the one thing about being an entrepreneur. You just never know what's going to pop up. And the problem with social media is, you know, your followers are very active at a certain time. And you need to kind of post in that time for you to get the likes, get the engagement, to then push you up the algorithm. So all of this stuff is super important. So I think, you know, like having, there's ways of getting around it. Like if you have technology like Schedulegram, whatever, then it can just go off in the middle of the night if that's when your people are active mm-hmm. and you don't have to worry about it. So that's just a little tip there that kept me alive.
That's good. Can you give me an example? We're getting closer to our time. It's gone by so fast, but I want to give an example of a brand tone. So you can use yourself as an example. You've listened to my show. Maybe you could say like what the tone is with this. Like, give me an example of a tone, a brand tone, because I still need some clarity around that.
Okay. So I would say like the better example is probably with you, because we've already established, you know, my Instagram is a mishmash like my life. So I think with your show, your brand tone would be like very authentic, okay. You know, inspirational and engaging. Like, you don't ask the same, you know, boring questions that perhaps someone else would do when they first start out with this kind of stuff. So I think that would really be your key brand tone, would be definitely authentic, engaging, inspirational, and it has a meaning. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to create mm-hmm. something, you're trying to create this network, I think, of entrepreneurs to really motivate them and inspire them. And I really love that. And that's, I think, definitely your brand tone.
So, okay. So it's kind of like adjectives to describe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the kind of different words that really sum you up. You know, like, if you think of it the same way, if you have like your best friend or a partner or whatever, like, you can think of like five words that sum up their personality perfectly. That's kind of like their brand tone.
Awesome. Awesome. And then from there, that'd be a good starting point to use your vocabulary and figure out what vocab fits with that.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
100%.
Well, I learned a ton from you. This is amazing. This is so good. Before our last question, I would just love to know, you know, you hit it on the head when you said that for a purpose. I really love the subject of people's why and the impact they're trying to make in the world and the bigger picture for why they're doing what they're doing. Because although this work is awesome, it's also really hard at times, and you have to have a really strong attachment to something greater than yourself, I think, the mm-hmm. impact you're trying to make in the world. So out of curiosity, what fires you up so much about helping people with their brands and doing the work that you do? What do you see?
For me, I think it's like, I guess the perfect way you could put it is, remember when things like Facebook and stuff first came out and everyone got obsessed with how many friends they had, how mm-hmm. many connections, that kind of thing. For me, it's very similar to that. You know, if you take a brand and their Instagram looks, you know, looks like crap, to be blunt, and then you see within 3 months the difference that you've made and the difference in the engagement and the difference, you know, like everything flows. So it's not just that the page looks better, they're getting more likes, they're getting more comments, they're getting more followers, they're getting more sales, you know, they're getting more website hits because people are actually interested in their brand. So it's like, whereas branding became like a trendy word last year, a lot of people say they work in branding now, but they don't really have a clue what it is or what the whole point is. And the whole point of branding is like, it's everything. You know, if you get the branding right, then you're kind of laughing.
I love that. I love that. Where can people connect with you online if they need help with their social, with their branding? Where can people connect with you?
So the easiest way, I mean, I'm always on my Instagram. So at Sophie C. Bowman, that's my Instagram, or you can always go to brandbrandingpr.com. My email, all my contact details are on there. Even my email's on my Instagram bio as well, which FYI is super important. Everyone should have that so that any opportunity comes along, someone can contact you.
That's good info. That's good info. Our very last question, Sophie, let's say you were to go back in time to that young girl in London, 18 years old, just starting off in her career, learning so much. And let's say you were to sit with her for a moment and tell her something that she didn't know then that you understand now. And it doesn't have to be about branding. It doesn't have to be about business. What would you authentically tell her?
Honestly, I'd say do exactly what you did and ignore everyone that told you that you had to find only one career and stick to it. Because if I'd done that, I'd probably be out of work right now. A lot of the people even I studied at university with doing public relations, they have to now do really horrible jobs that they don't want to do for boring companies because it's not there anymore. Magazines went, newspapers went, I would be out of a job. So I would definitely ignore people. If you know what you're doing is right for you, then have at it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in unconventional leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.